The first stop was the Elk Camp Restaurant in Snowmass, where commissioned art has been placed in partnership between the museum and the Aspen Skiing Company. I rode up the mountain in the backseat of a Honda to meet Janique Smith, a painter based out of New York. She's in the restaurant by herself, and there are definitely some vibes of The Shining. Solitary work? Check. Big, quiet building on a mountain? Also check. Janique is painting on a large wall. It's about 30 feet long and 10 feet high, a scale that Smith enjoys working on.
I like to use my whole arm span, my whole body. And when you work large and on a wall like this, it gives you that freedom to work big and small, to make large gestures and more intimate moments within it.
There are long, broad brushstrokes coming from a central point in the space, gestures of pink and black paint that look to be an interpretation of the wind. But is it?
I have associations that come with each element and with each gesture, but that's not why I made it that way. I'm not illustrating one thing or another, and that people like yourself can bring to it their own meaning.
And meaning is something that she's very sure to instill in her paintings, regardless of what that meaning exactly is, or if it's even clear to the viewer. Her works are swirling paintings with collage elements thrown in. There are these things inserted to this work that seem to be pretty straightforward. Words scrawled in a gracefully nondescript manner, but upon further investigation, it's impossible to actually decipher their meaning. So what do they say?
I use the gesture as actually text, so it's abstracted text, and I'm using these bits of poetry that are inspiring the marks.
Words mysteriously written into the curls and billows of Shanique's marks, just clear enough to be noticed, but vague enough to remain anonymous. Off the mountain, back in Aspen, Diana Thayer's installation, Gorilla, 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 is allowing viewers to experience two worlds at once, very literally. In a dark room, projectors stream videos of gorillas onto the wall. There's also one animal whose image is being produced on 9 televisions stacked on top of each other into a square. The gorillas all live in a refuge in Cameroon, but the way she films the animals gives you the impression that some are wild. In parts of the footage, they sit by fences, and in other shots, they sit in trees or fields or with scientists, as they would in a National Geographic documentary. The images are arranged in a circular shape. 5 are projected on the wall, and others appear on the floor. They stretch and are compressed as they bounce off the different angles of the room. You're drawn to the center of the images, where there's a space on the floor with nothing being projected. But once you're there, you can't see everything at once. Your shadow blocks the way. Diana says that's intentional.
You can never see anything all at once, so you're forced to move, which is another kind of address to the body, right? You need to move around the work in order to see the entire piece. You can't see all of it from one vantage point. So the point is to engage the viewer physically as well as, you know, mentally.
Being mentally engaged in your surroundings is something Diana focused on heavily. The glass doors and windows in the room, which let natural light come in, have been covered in green gels so that the entire space has a hue of that color. But one other striking part of the exhibit is the lack of sound. Again, another conscious choice.
I want you to be fully in the present, knowing that you're in a gallery. I don't want to have the sounds of the rainforest or the jungle piped in or, you know, on speakers, because I don't want to transport the viewer.
She says sometimes people leave her installations thinking that there in fact was sound in the room. There's a strong emphasis on placing people in a specific environment, in a specific mindset. She wants you to know that your existence is in two places when you enter the room.
There's a space that you recognize and with which you're familiar, that's architecture, and there's a space with which you're not familiar, and that's wild and unstructured, and that's the rainforest where the gorillas live.
Her subjects over her career have ranged from dolphins and tigers to the abandoned Ukrainian city of Chernobyl. Gorilla, Gorilla, Gorilla was a commissioned work by the Natural History Museum in London to make a piece in celebration of the anniversary of the publishing of Darwin's On the Origin of Species. She's been using film as her medium for years because of the way that she believes animals perceive time differently than we do.
Film and video are sort of, they're time-based media, so they make meaning in time. And so I'm interested in watching and observing animals in time and seeing how they live their lives.
And seeing how people are able to interact with technology as they experience art, as the projectors and cables are scattered around the room.
I believe we have the ability to experience the sublime the beautiful, the transcendent in the presence of technology. So I leave it all exposed, obviously. You know what I mean? I make it very obvious. The cords drop from the ceilings, they snake along the floor. So I make no attempt to hide it at all.
Nor does she hide her desire for people to understand two worlds at the same time. Patrick Fort, Aspen Public Radio News.